Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I hid in the cloud and wrath of the crowd. When they set it down, I stood up.
Bruce Springsteen adorns the cover of a new book by photographer Lynn Goldsmith called Rock and Roll Stories. It's a collection of her photos and the tall tales that come with them from a career that's lasted over four decades. All the stars are here, from her one-time boyfriend, Bruce Springsteen, to James Brown, from Bob Dylan to the Rolling Stones, and on to Michael Jackson, New Kids on the Block, and many, many more. Lynn Goldsmith's career has also included some music of her own, though you may know it under a different name, as we'll see in a bit. And her career is the subject of a PBS documentary coming in the new year. Right now, Lynn Goldsmith joins us in the Soundcheck studio. Welcome.
Oh, thanks, John. I'm really happy to be at Soundcheck and with you.
Let me start, not even at the beginning, but before you get to the beginning of the book, the cover, this sort of almost iconic image of Bruce Springsteen wearing this leather jacket, which we then see later in the book, lots of other people wearing this jacket too.
Yeah, in the days when I started photographing a number of musicians, there was really no such thing as stylists or hair and makeup people. And my work has always been about it. It actually started when I was photographing my dolls at age 8, where I would redress them and give them an identity. And so when I started doing this with my friends, in fact, many of them became successful musicians. Mm-hmm. But I used to just play with it. You know, we'd play. I'd do hair, makeup, take pictures. They'd take pictures of me. And that's how it got going. That jacket was a jacket which actually I wore in my band in 1966, The Walking Wounded, mm-hmm. in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So I used to use my own clothes on a number of people, which goes to show you that those guys weren't exactly big guys.
And that jacket is now where?
Well, that's the funny part of the story. At one point in time, Bruce and I tried breaking into the Elvis Museum, which is at that time was Elvis's home.
In Graceland.
Yeah, in Graceland. And we were thrown out twice that night. In 2000, I was invited to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because they were honoring me there. And there was a Bruce Springsteen exhibit. And in the case was my leather jacket, which actually Bruce did not like. I got him to wear it for that picture, but he only wore it for maybe one roll of the film and wanted to take it off because the studs weren't really his style. Mm-hmm. So now it comes to 2010-11 when I'm writing this book and I call up the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and I said, I'd like to get a picture of the case and tell the story. And they said, oh, well, we'd love to give it to you, but we loan that exhibit out to the Elvis Museum. You'll have to call them. I said, is that in Graceland? And they said, yeah. And I went, wow, this is fantastic. I finally got into Graceland.
Now, so in addition to bringing your own clothing occasionally to your photo shoots, you have a picture here somewhere in the book of Frank Zappa holding one of your dolls.
Oh, yeah, I used my dolls. Actually, I continue to use dolls, and you'll see them in photographs, whether it's with Zappa, Sting. I mean, pretty much everybody. Barbie got to have as much fun as I did.
So some people would naturally be more comfortable in front of the camera than others. When you got to somebody, say, like Michael Jackson, you have, you know, who was famously shy, you have this great picture, this almost psychedelic picture of him dancing.
Yes.
What's he dancing to? Did you bring an audio prop for him?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I have only ever shot one person, which is the author Isaac Bashevis Singer, when I did not use music.
Really?
Yes. It's not just for the artist and to create. You need to create an environment, mm-hmm. because the job of a good portrait photographer is to hopefully become someone's new best friend immediately.
Okay, so now you're talking about an actual photo shoot, not like, you know, casual photos backstage or on stage or things like that. You're talking about things where you've set up the room. That's where you would bring music?
Well, actually, even I pretty much used to carry a boombox, even a small one, a pink one. It's in it, and I talk about that in the book. So even if I'm backstage, there are moments where I can throw on my boombox and make a musical connection that changes the whole room.
Wow. Well, that photo of Michael Jackson dancing is on our website, soundcheck.org. We're speaking with Lynn Goldsmith, the photographer. Her book is called Rock and Roll Stories. It is out now. And PBS doing a documentary on you, which is premiering in January. So, but back to this Michael Jackson photo. What is he dancing to?
Oh, Get on the Good Foot by James Brown.
I want to get on the good foot.
Is that your go-to, one of your go-to pieces?
Well, James Brown, JB, you know, the godfather of soul. And even though he wasn't from Detroit, I adopted him. I mean, you know, probably my favorite singer of all time would be Aretha Franklin, but that sets a different mood. James Brown has been incredibly meaningful to me, as was Little Richard and a number of other artists that got me dancing. And the power of music to have people come out of themselves. And that is exemplified in the image of Michael Jackson, which was made at Disney World in Orlando. Michael wasn't really shy with me because I'd worked with Michael for many years. However, this was a shoot for Life magazine. And so there were people there that he had never seen before. And I could tell that he wasn't his open self. So when I put that on and said, come on, let's dance.
So you're dancing in the same
room. Oh, yeah.
Room.
I dance really well with heavy photo equipment on me.
All right. Get on the Good Foot, a song that came in handy for photographer Lynn Goldsmith when working with Michael Jackson and probably some other folks over the course of a long and illustrious career photographing some of rock and roll's biggest and best, including James Brown. Lynn, you got to work with him on a couple of occasions, right?
Yeah, the first time I met James Brown was when I was going to Zaire, Africa in 1974 for the Rumble in the Jungle. Mm-hmm. And they were also putting on a music festival.
Right.
And I was scheduled along with Bill Withers, the Pointer Sisters, and a number of other artists, great artists, to go on a private plane from New York to Africa. And the amazing thing about James Brown is that he really always thought of himself as like the man in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not fly without his equipment. All the other artists, their equipment had to go on a different plane, and they said it was very dangerous for us to fly that way, and the plane was held up for hours.
Because it was overladen.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was dangerous, but he didn't care.
So he almost gets you killed.
Yes, he almost gets me killed. And then,
but you do land safely.
Yeah, we do land safely. It was just the way with James. But that's why I have a first chapter called Strange Angels.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wanted to call that chapter Crazy Mother, but I thought Strange Angels was something I could say on the air and the other one wouldn't be.
Yeah.
So,
thank you for that, Lynn. Lynn Goldsmith, the book is called Rock and Roll Stories. It's out now. One of the things that, you know, looking through some of these photographs, you have had an almost Zelig-like existence in the rock and roll world. You've been a fly on the wall on a number of occasions. Patti Smith famously falling off stage and breaking her neck.
Yeah, so, that's not a moment I really wanted to be a fly on the wall. Yeah.
And, you know, the shot of her being carted off in the ambulance.
Well, it was an interesting moment because, you see, I was on the stage. It was a very high stage. So when that's the situation, I don't want to shoot up someone's nose. So I'm actually on the stage. We were in Florida. I saw the wire there, and Patty used to do a certain kind of dance, a twirling,
right,
like a dervish on one song. And I saw the wire there. And that was really a moment in my career where I had to think, am I a fly on the wall or am I going to, like, be here? The audience will see me. I wanted to run out and grab that wire, but I thought, no, she must see it. You have to trust this, you know? And unfortunately, I was wrong.
Well, I mean, but fortunately, having broken a couple of vertebrae in her neck, she was back performing with a neck brace. I actually saw Patti Smith playing at CBGB's in the neck brace, you know, shortly after.
I was there.
Yeah. Quite a performance, too.
Yes, it was, and she ripped it off during that performance. I have something else to tell you about that performance.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Before that show, we were going to be late. I was at her house, and she's doing her boyfriend's laundry, and I'm saying, we got to go. We got to go. These are just things. Anyway, I think JD was sick or something, and she said, you know, I don't have a drummer. And I went like, oh, my God. So let me call blah, blah, blah. And she went, no, that's okay. I'll play drums. And I said, Patty, you don't play drums.
And you're in a neck brace.
And she said, yeah, but when will I ever get another chance? That's, you know, that's the key to everything.
Yeah. Actually, it's not the only time a neck brace appears in your story because you're dancing with Tina Turner.
Yes, that comes from the chapter Photo Nightmares, where it's not that the subject is a nightmare for me, but oftentimes a situation can turn out to be one. I had photographed Tina Turner in 1975 performing at the Fontainebleau Hotel in Miami Beach. So I was really well aware, plus seeing her in performance at other times, of how when she is in concert, she keeps swinging her head around and her hair. I wanted to capture that energy, so I put together a body of music to play during our shoot where we would just be swinging our heads. As I danced with Michael, I danced with Tina. I just kept turning my head so she'd turn her head, and I thought I got great shots, which, you know, I don't often feel. I always feel like, oh, I could have done better. But in this situation, I don't know if really feeling I got it was worth it, because after she left, my neck was really hurting and I had to go to the hospital and I was put in a neck brace. What I had not noticed on Tina Turner, because she had long hair, was how wide and thick her neck was. She had these neck muscles from years of swinging her head. So, yeah, that was my photo nightmare. But, you know, Tina did a great job.
Lynn Goldsmith sharing some of the tales behind her photographs in the book called Rock and Roll Stories. There's also a PBS documentary on Lynn premiering in January. She's with me on Soundcheck today. So the title of that chapter, Photo Nightmares, sort of brings up a question of, you know, were there nightmares? I mean, was there a photo shoot that just stands out in your mind as the absolute worst you ever had to deal with?
I think only once. There was only one time in my career with one artist, and I don't hesitate to say so. It was Don McLean, and it was for an album cover, which to me, when you're photographing someone for an album cover, that's a body of work that they have put together to give to their audience and hopefully to create a bigger audience for what it is they have to say. And so what you package it in should not only reflect the thought and the care that you've put inside, it should reflect it on the outside. That's the way I feel when I make my work. I feel I'm serving a purpose of the artist. And when he got there, he just wanted it to be over as quickly as possible. And I said, you know, if you feel that way, I think you should leave. And he didn't. He stayed. You know, I have to give him that. But he was the only person that I literally asked to leave.
Yeah. You write in the book that he was the most unpleasant artist that you've had to work with.
Ever.
Yeah. All right. Mr. American Pie himself.
But I have to say, he didn't torture me the way Miles Davis did.
That's a funny story, too.
Yeah, Miles did torture me, but it ended up being really one of the highlights of my life.
Yeah. I want to be photographed down there by the beach. Now I want to be photographed up there by the terrace.
Oh, it was hours and hours of testing me. He did something where he said, Lynn, I want you to go upstairs. I want you to go into my closet. And in my closet, I want you to pick out exactly what you want me to wear. So I said, Mr. Davis, let me just repeat this back to you because I want to make sure it's okay with you. You want me to go upstairs because we were shooting at his house and go in your closet and put, did you hear what I said, girl? And I want you to go through my drawers. So I go upstairs and there I see the clothes of what appears to be, you know, a Martian, like these shoes that, people, genies who come out of urns wear or something. And I'm walking down the stairs with, and he said, what are you doing up in my closet? So that was just typical the whole day. But it ended up being a day where finally, when I was at my wit's end, he said to his son who was there, get me my horn. And his son brought him his horn, and Miles played right to my face. And all the hatred that I felt for this man just completely melted.
Your experience with music has been closer than just shooting it. You've made it. You know, you had your own band in your Michigan days with the Walking Wounded.
Yes.
Hanging out with Iggy Pop when he was getting started with his band there in Michigan as well.
Well, actually, when he was Jim Osterberg.
When he was still Jimmy Osterberg. And then in the 80s, this album came out credited to Will Powers. And here in the States, at least, it was thought that this was a Todd Rundgren production. And he did, in fact, work on it. But this was essentially you, right?
Oh, yeah. And I don't blame people. They look at you as one thing. There's so much coming at us all the time that I often feel, and that's why I can now embrace the term rock and roll photographer. Mm-hmm. I used to find repellent any label. Now I understand more fully that with the way the world is, we need to identify a person. Oh, that's a jazz artist. That's a blues artist. That's a, you know, that's a photographer. Many of the artists that you know were either writers or photographers.
Right.
A lot of photographers are also musicians.
Lynn Goldsmith being a good example. We'll wrap up with Adventures in Success from Will Powers, Lynn Goldsmith's alter ego of some years ago. The book is out now. It's called Rock and Roll Stories, and there are plenty more stories where these came from. And by the way, a Will Powers video on soundcheck.org, so check that out. PBS documentary on Lynn Goldsmith premiering in January. Lynn, congratulations on the book, and thanks for being with us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, John, and thanks for your listeners that stayed tuned.
Take inventory of your assets. Don't be modest or critical. Be open and objective. Get a pencil and paper. Write down every good thing about yourself.